All around the world today, people will be listening to the story of Abraham and Isaac. And the preachers will preach and the teachers will teach that Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his beloved son is a model of faith. And so we too are called to sacrifice everything for Jesus, even if necessary, our own children. And some adults will nod wisely and be thrilled by these demands. Others will feel appalled and maybe leave the faith. And any children who are paying attention will be horrified. They will wonder why anyone would want to worship a God who might ask their parents to hurt them. And that is an excellent question. For the usual reading says that God might require the destruction of the vulnerable people entrusted to our care. And that is why, for example, many pastors and missionaries have felt able to work so hard and sacrifice so much of their own children's childhoods to the work of the gospel. But is there another reading more consistent with a God of love? I think there is. But it requires us to read the story carefully, thinking about its context and looking at the language. If we do this, however, I believe we'll find that this is a story which celebrates life, not death, but life. So the first thing to note is that this story was told at a time and in a context where the blood sacrifice of children was normal. It was the right and good thing to do. In the ancient Middle East and in many other cultures, children were sacrificed to appease the angry gods. Indeed, the abduction and ritual murder of children by sorcerers and witch doctors still happens in some countries today, most notably in Uganda. We might feel revolted by the story, but we have to understand that nobody hearing it for the first time would have raised an eyebrow. Abraham was doing the right thing. Called to sacrifice his son, he prepared to do so. The second thing to note is the changing name of God. The story opens with El, the Hebraic general name for God. El is the God that everybody knows, the God like all other gods. And it is this God which demands the sacrifice of Abraham's son. But it is Yahweh, or the Lord, who stays Abraham's hand. Yahweh is the personal, relational God revealed to Israel. And it's a messenger from Yahweh who calls to Abraham and says, "Do not harm the boy." The third thing to note is that when this God speaks, Abraham does something brave and radical, for he listens to this new voice, the voice which tells him not to harm the boy, the voice which demands that he act differently to everybody else. The normal thing would be for Abraham to sacrifice his son. But he does the abnormal thing, the difficult thing. He comes back down the mountain, bringing the boy with him. And then one imagines he has to try and convince all his neighbors and friends and family that he has done the right thing. While they no doubt are terrified that in his failure to sacrifice his son, God will punish them all. We can get so caught up in the shocking thought that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son that we can miss the point. In context, the shocking thought is that based on new information and a new understanding of God, Abraham did not sacrifice his son. He did not sacrifice him. But that is precisely the point. Followers of Yahweh, the God of Israel, do not sacrifice their children. And this is a major shift in the understanding of God. It's so huge that it's hard to believe. And so as the history of Israel unfolds, people do fall back into child sacrifice from time to time. But each time the prophets rail against it, and gradually the refusal to sacrifice children becomes the norm. Abraham was willing to give everything he had to God, and this is wonderful. But what is even more wonderful is the revelation that the God of Israel, Yahweh, does not demand destructive sacrifice. And this understanding grows and grows until much later the prophets reveal that God does not even demand the sacrifice of animals and seeks only justice and mercy and kindness and peace. In other words, anything which demands the sacrifice of children is not the God of Israel, our God. Instead, it is an idol. It's a good thing we all get this. Or do we? Actually, we don't. We sacrifice children, our children, and other people's children all the time. All over the world, children are in armies and sex shops and are kept out of school, sacrificed to idols of militarism and violence and the patriarchy. Children slave in cocoa and coffee plantations and factories and sweatshops, sacrificed to the idol of capitalism and our lust for cheap consumer goods. Closer to home, children are sent to remote immigration detention centres, sacrificed to the idols of national sovereignty and border control. Children with autism are threatened with removal from mainstream classrooms, sacrificed to the idols of normality and political games. Children are fought over by divorcing parents and controlling families, sacrificed to the idol of adult egos. Children are kept out of many churches, sacrificed to the idol of well-ordered, quiet, and cerebral forms of worship. Same-sex attracted and transgender children and young people are bullied at school and also kept out of churches, sacrificed to the idol of heteronormative ways of being and relationship. Children are given the dregs of their parents' time, energy, and focus, sacrificed to the idols of career and me time. In these and so many other ways, children are sacrificed by all of us, all the time. But our God is the God of life, the God who says, "Do not harm the child." Our God will watch as we lay children upon the altars of militarism and consumerism and heteronormativity or ego or status or money. But just when all seems lost, our God will demand that we stay our hand. And we choose. We can choose to act like everybody else, sacrificing children to ideals and idols and our rapacious greed. Or we can choose to live differently. We can risk approbation and censure and seek to get children off plantations and out of sweatshops, free children from detention, educate all children, honour children's needs when our relationships break down or our work needs escalate, and welcome all children into our lives and our churches, however they identify and however noisy or messy or uncomfortable our services become. We can opt for the violence of normality, the life that is a living death, or we can choose for the God of life, the one who seeks justice and mercy and kindness and peace, the one who in human form placed a little child at the heart of things and told his disciples to do likewise. Sacrificing children is the default setting. It's the easy option. But if you seek the God of life, the God here revealed to Abraham, you must live differently. You must come down the mountain and face the harsh criticism of the people of the tents, your relatives, your neighbours, your employers, your priests and your politicians. They'll call you a hippie do-gooder, a bleeding heart, naive. They'll accuse you of undermining traditional family values. They'll mock how you raise your children and how you shop, work, worship and play. But do not be afraid. You will not be alone. And coming down the mountain, you'll be able to walk slowly and listen to some chatter. For you will be hand in hand with a child who trusts you to do what God asks, the God of life. Amen.